7-Eleven with Bax and O'Brien and Rock 102.
You know, every week Gary Thomas, or every time rather, that Gary Thomas comes here, he is accompanied by an email of points to talk about in the conversation. And the first thing on this month's list is it's something you never even think of. You're watching all this devastation in Texas. You never even think of the fact that these people aren't going to work. They're not getting their money. They're not maybe even keeping their jobs.
So when a community faces something like that, what happens?
It's a really tough situation because, you know, we don't expect the unexpected, and that's what happens. In terms of how it happens, you know, folks will be out of work for weeks. Their businesses will be closed. But even in the short term, you have flooding. You know, hey, most of us probably, you know, like me, if I have $150 in my pocket, that is a lot of money because I'll use an ATM if I need money. I'll use a credit card if I need money. What happens when, you know, the gas stations are closed, the ATMs don't operate because or you can't get to it? And what happens if you have to leave your home suddenly? I mean, how many people, you know where the 800 number is to contact the main insurance company? Suppose your insurance agent is, you know, not open. And so most of us need to have access to, you know, information that is in our homes. We're forced to leave maybe quickly that happens.
Is there any of that information you just mentioned that whether it's the insurance policy or the mortgage, is there any of that information that's in your home that's not recoverable from the source?
Well, first of all, you got to know where. I mean, how many people do you know the 800 number of your credit card? You know, if you if your card was with you, but what if you had what if that guy at the restaurant kept it?
But then again, you know? Does anybody remember their spouse's phone number either?
Or
you know, because of iPhones now, everybody's phone, you don't memorize.
So here's the thing, but do you take a picture? I think most of us, if we had to leave, we would leave with our cell phone. You know, I mean, today most people will have a cell phone with them. Thing is that when disaster strikes, most of these cell towers can go for about 24 hours before the batteries on the cell towers go out. But we could still use our phones as a sort of a mini computer, you know, in terms of having a little, you can buy these little batteries that are about the size of a stick of gum that'll give you some extra power. If your car is still working, you can power your cell phone and you can have that information. You don't even have to be computer literate. If you got a smartphone, take a picture of your vital information, put it in your phone, but be sure to put a password on your phone.
So I want to talk about the national impact of this because Houston is a very, very important city. It's got oil refineries all over that area.
One of which blew up last, not a refinery, but a chemical plant blew up.
So you have all of this potential financial impact that you know would be nationwide. What do they expect would be the impact of oil refineries shutting down for this period of time?
Well, first of all, you're going to see at this point we have more oil than we need, but that's not going to last for long. I mean, we've seen, you know, relatively low oil prices, but you're going to have speculators as well. And you're going to see, I mean, you know, some of us prepay for our oil in the wintertime, others don't. Well, you're going to see the price of oil spike even more than the shortage would indicate because people take advantage of tough situations. So there'll be speculators out there that have, you know, that will buy up these oil futures and you're going to end up paying more. But aside from that, think of the impact upon your insurance rates when, you know, not all of this is covered by insurance. In fact, but there's some of those programs, some of the houses they'll have to have, you know, insurance companies will come in and they'll pay. Other places, if you're in a flood zone, and here's the other thing, this is an aside, you could be in a flood zone, which means your insurance coverage wouldn't cover you and not even know it. There's a lot of flood zones that are not necessarily level with a river. I mean, some of these folks are 4, 5, 6 miles away from, you know, the nearest source of water, and yet, because when you have a river that is 30 feet above, you know, it's banks, it flood, you run into trouble.
So how do insurance companies deal with this? Okay, so let's they got a natural disaster, 40,000 homes plus that have been destroyed in this flooding. But let's say I live up here in Massachusetts and some sort of natural disaster happens in my neighborhood. How difficult is it then to get a claim processed because they're still paying for what happened in Houston?
Well, I mean, they hire extra people in a home office, but when it comes to adjusters, they pull insurance adjusters. Today, most insurance adjusters don't work directly for a company. They're independent companies. And so, you know, we have actually clients that are insurance adjusters. And, you know, if they have the time or the resources, they will go down and they'll work for a company in Houston and assess the claims. But essentially, it takes a long, long, long time to get things done because there just simply isn't enough manpower to make the assessments in terms of the cost of the damage. And then, obviously, things need to be processed. And I hate to say this as well, whenever there's a natural disaster, there's the potential for fraud, and they have to sort through what's a fraudulent claim, what isn't. Nope. So it takes time and frustration and energy and delay.
Never mind fraudulent claims or having enough manpower. Then there's the natural operation of insurance companies to try to deny your claims or get them down as low as possible anyhow. So it's still going to be, I've heard them say, there are people still waiting for checks from Hurricane Sandy that, you know, it's years later. What will have a greater effect on the economy overall? A disaster like this or the disaster like what's in Washington? What this situation with North Korea, is that the kind of thing that could have a greater effect on the economy than a hurricane?
Well, obviously, if there was a war, it has a huge effect. You know, we're still the effects of Iraq and Afghanistan are having a devastating effect on the economy. Just to think of the men and women that served coming back, you know, disabled, not able to enter the workforce. The resources that go because we need to help folks with PTSD and other kinds of disabilities. I mean, the impact of a war is immeasurable. The impact of a one-time event like Houston is ultimately measurable in dollars. And it also has other positive impacts as well. I mean, there are certain industries that are going to benefit from this in terms of the construction industry is going to go, and it's going to take a while because you go down to Florida from time to time, and I could remember for years seeing, you know, blue tarps over roofs flying after hurricane season because they're just simply, you know, a year after the hurricane, you still see a blue tarp on a roof if you're flying into a disaster area.
Because that insurance claim hasn't been settled yet.
Well, or because their resources aren't there. You know, some people come in and take advantage of that. And how many times, you know, I'm a supposedly a smart guy. Well, I can't tell you the number of times that my wife and I, when we were younger, said, well, he seems like a nice guy. He'll get the job done. You give him a deposit. They're there for the afternoon. And then you can't find him anymore.
Yeah.
This happens.
This is
smart people.
This is Gary Thomas from the Wealth Technology Group.
And you.
Yeah.
And me as well.
Getting off the Houston story for a minute, the other big story that came out last week, a woman in Chicopee wins Powerball, $750 million.
You called her yet?
No.
Has she called you?
Have you left your card in her neighborhood?
Right. Well, I think there's a pile of business cards on her doorstep. Yeah.
She made some decisions along the way, especially as she's claiming her earnings, that a lot of people were questioning. And not like there's a lot of people in the audience who are going to win a $100 million jackpot or any jackpot at all. But you always hear the argument, well, what's the best way to approach all this? And I don't know if anyone has ever really come up with the definitive answer about how you're supposed to take this prize. Should you remain anonymous? Should you wait? Do you take the annuity, or what do you do?
There are consequences. First of all, let's say she was to take that annuity. So you divide $750 million, you know, into 20 years, and she gets 1/20th of that a year.
Is it 29?
I've heard everything from 20 to 30 years.
Yeah.
So basically, if there might be 30 payments. Mm. So it depends upon whether it's a Powerball or whether it's Megabucks or whatever.
Right.
But basically, so you get so much money a year. Well, first of all, it's more money than most people. If it's $20 million a year, that's more than you know I'm able to spend in a month or two. So, what are her? You know, after a while, what are your long term goals for that? So, because if you die along the way, even so, let's say you die after 10 years, well, you still have 10 years of payments coming in on a 20-year payout. Well, guess what? We have something in this country called estate taxes. And basically, you could get taxed on money that you don't yet have. It's called income in respect of a decedent. If you have an expectancy to get, it's a funny word, yeah. But if you have an expectancy to get money, like if you have a guarantee that your estate is going to get X amount of money for the next 10 years or 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and you die, well, basically, that is part of your taxable estate for federal and Massachusetts estate tax purposes. So you are taxed on money that you do not yet have.
So if the money comes in after your death, does that money get taxed normally like it would?
Well, it would be taxed from there's an interrelated equation between income tax and federal estate tax that doesn't apply because it's still income taxable. Now, but let's say she took the lump sum and so the lump sum is basically approximately half of the 750.
Why is that?
Well, because basically it's you only have an expectancy. The ability to get money today is more important than being able to collect money 20 years from now or 15 years from now. So they use something called a present value. In other words, how much money would you have to have today invested at a certain rate to equal that stream of payments over a 20-year period of time.
That's why the $728 million becomes $460 million when you take a lump sum and then there's taxes.
And then there's income taxes on that, so you end up with you know, approximately, there's about a 46% tax on that. So you'd pay tax. So let's say you end up with $200 million. If you then died the next day and you had your lump sum and you did nothing else with it, then there would be something called an estate tax, and they take about 60% of that $200 million that's left.
Jesus.
So you really do need a lot of guidance. In fact, wealthy people, people that are this wealthy, people that have $200 or $300 million net worth, do not pay estate taxes. You know, they don't pay them because there's tools that are available. First of all, you know, in order to charitable trusts and other kinds of family foundations, other kinds of devices that can put your kids to work and your grandkids and your, you know, great grandkids to work and get a salary that they couldn't wear, you know, get anywhere else. And yet the remainder goes to a charity, you know, down the road 20, 30, 50 years from now. And so individuals, you know, can control money and not pay taxes on it. So you do really need a lot of advice because it depends upon, because most people that win the lottery, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to pay off my house. I'm going to get a double wide. I'm going to get my teeth done. What do you do with the other, you know, $450 million after that?
Gary, where are you from? The $500 million lottery and you're going to buy
gonna
a double wide?
I am going to get a double wide. And guess what? I'm taking my kids to Disney World.
Yeah, why don't you take them to Dolly Land?
Mavis, if you're listening, you can contact Gary Thomas at thewealthtechnology.com. Or call him at 1-800-266-6793. Gary, good to see you.
Have a great day.
It's 725 in Rock 102. Job life.